All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey. Live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome into a playoff edition of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live over on the Daily Faceoff YouTube and brought to you by Bet365. We're excited to have them along as our sports betting partner for the 2024 playoffs. And we'll be here with Bet365 to give you all the news, analysis, lines, and of course, betting options for the playoffs until just one team is left standing in June. Welcome into the show. Like I said, streaming on the DFO YouTube. Drop in your inbox questions there. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk, and he is not Frank Saravalli. He is our boy Colby Cohn from Morning Cup of Hockey. Colb, how's it going?
It's going late nights, early mornings. That's the first round of the playoffs for you. I'm jealous of your time zone. This is the only time of year where I'm really jealous of your time zone, because it's these late nighters on the East Coast. They're just not doing it for me.
Oh man, whenever I travel out east and like sit down for a night of sports watching, it always blows my mind that games start at like 10 o'clock. Like the best part about being in Alberta, I think Mountain is still better than Central. Like I'm done work, 4:30, kick my feet up, 5 o'clock, boom, watch hockey for the entire night and go to bed at a reasonable hour. It is absolutely the best. Let's talk about what we saw last night in the NHL, Colby. We are going to be joined by Ken Wiebe in a little bit out from Winnipeg. He's going to break down what we saw between the Avs and the Jets in game two. But in game two between Florida and Tampa, it was all about Sergei Bobrovsky. The Cats goalie stood tall and improves his record in the playoffs now to 2-0. He's picking up right where he left off last year during their playoff run, Colby, and that save he made early on or in the middle of that game, it's gonna go down as probably one of the best saves in playoff history. This is bananas.
Yeah, I mean, and I was watching this game. This was where all my attention was in the early part of the evening, because this was just an old-fashioned goalie duel. You know, this to me represents playoff hockey. 2-2. You know, one team clawing back, momentum shifting, physical play. But at the end of the day, Bobrovsky is the superior Russian goaltender over Vasilevsky so far in this series. And look, Vasi was great yesterday. I mean, he gave his team a chance to win, but you see that power play, 1-for-6 for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've got to find a way to make Bob uncomfortable, produce more on the power play. Look, I thought they deserved a better fate. I did. I thought after the first period, Tampa was a better team. They had more grade A opportunities, but I don't know what you do against Bob right now, because he's just gone to another level early in the playoffs, something we didn't see last year. Because you remember Alex Lyon dragged them in and played the first couple games of the playoffs. My big question is it sustainable? Because this is a level that is just unheard of. And I think Tampa Bay, of all teams, feels okay going home down two. They feel like we're going back to our arena. It's going to be loud. It's going to be, ruckus in Tampa Bay. I think they're one of the more underrated fan bases in the entire NHL. They probably don't get enough credit for their atmosphere. But what can you say? Right now, we've got an early leader for Conn Smythe over Overreaction City over here, two games into the playoffs, Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about it being sustainable. They've held Tampa to under 25 shots in each of the first two games. Like, Tampa's getting some good looks, but I'll echo what you said. If they do not get their power play going, and I know people love to sit there and be like, oh, in the playoffs, you need to be good at 5-on-5, and there's not as a, no, there's more power plays in the playoffs, as evident last night, 6 power plays in one game. You don't see that all that often. And go through the list of cup winners over the last number of years. If you do not have a red hot power play, you're probably not going to be the team that lifts the Stanley Cup at the end of June. And Tampa, we know they have all the talent in the world to throw out there on that top unit. They just got to get it going, because last night, again, if you're average, if you go 2-for-6 in that game, you're walking away from there with home ice advantage right in your back pocket.
And I think Steven Stamkos had a couple of opportunities. He walks into that one timer that catches Bob in the mask. He let a couple go from the far side. I know he did score on one, which was a perfect shot back the other way. As a goaltender is moving side to side, if you're able to go against the grain and pinpoint the inside of a pipe, that's one way to beat Bob. But I picked Tampa to win this series. And I'll be honest with you, I still have faith in Tampa. Could Florida win? Could Florida go win a cup? They could. But of the teams that I feel like can get down 0-2 and still confident enough within the locker room, especially going home, I think Tampa is one of those teams.
Yeah, I see we got a comment in the YouTube. Bolts don't have the depth anymore. I mean, I agree that their depth isn't as elite as it was in years past, but one guy who's helping is Anthony Duclair. I thought he had himself another...
And Dumba.
Like, Duclair is a guy now, especially because he's kind of clicking up in the top six. He's slotting some other pieces down. So I'm with you. I'm not willing to write off the Tampa Bay Lightning at all. And the old saying, you're never in trouble till you lose at home. So talk to me after the Bolts lose a game at the Philly Arena, and maybe I'll have a bit more concern. The Vancouver Canucks, Colby, saw their series get evened up at 1 against the Predators, and they were hoping it would be no Demko, no problems. Instead, it was no Demko, mo problems. And I don't think this was even a Casey DeSmith issue. I did love the crowd chanting, "Let's go, Casey," off the opening puck drop last night. I thought that was really cool out in Vancouver. And listen, the numbers here for DeSmith are not great, but you go back and watch those three goals. The first one, weird deflection, probably should have stopped it, but 15 seconds before that, Quinn Hughes has a chance to get the puck out and he stumbles. He eats it in the corner. The play stays alive. Nashville holds his own. They score. The second goal, I mean, you let Philip Forsberg walk in untouched for 4 strides in front of the net. He's probably scoring on any goalie in the NHL in that situation. And then the third one, he ended up giving up. It was a bad rebound again, but right before that, Elias Pettersson turned it over at his own blue line, had a clear-cut chance to get it out, and then fell down and couldn't get back to take his guy in the slot. So, I don't know. Again, they maybe weren't pretty goals against, but I don't really blame DeSmith at all. Yeah. I blame Vancouver Canucks for not being able to put the pedal to the floor here and actually control play for any amount of time.
I think you've got to rally around the fact that your number two guy is coming in. I think DeSmith has been a capable goalie. He's been a 9-10 goalie his whole career, but he lacks playoff experience. He's got 2 starts in the playoffs. He hasn't seen a ton of action. And I think this is an opportunity where you have to look around the room and you need players to, go the extra mile, block the extra shot, be more thorough at the puck with the puck. The player you're alluding to with Elias Pettersson, to me, he gets 3 minuses on that play. 3 different issues I take with that play: a turnover, then getting beat back to the net, and then falling, and then slamming your stick. Again, I give him -3 on that play alone for that type of effort. And I got to tell you something. He needs to wake up. He's got a big contract. I don't know if he's got something going on that we don't know about. That's something you alluded to with me before the show started. But here's what I'm going to say. If you're not scoring goals, how are you contributing? So what's your B game? What can you do for your team if you're not creating and you're not carrying play offensively? Well, you can play physical. You can block more shots. You can win battles on the walls. You can do little things that help add up and might put another guy on your team in a situation to be successful. So I'm not panicking for the Vancouver Canucks because I do think DeSmith is capable. I certainly think, and I said this to Frank, and he didn't agree with me, I thought Vancouver's D-core, they could have trouble in the playoffs. They could get a little exposed with some of those guys. And on the other side, you've got Josi, you've got McDonough, you have proven playoff star performers on that back end. I think this series got a lot more interesting without Thatcher Demko, but I'm also not ready to, you know, book travel to round two for the Edmonton Oilers to play against the Nashville Predators, because I do think this team will rally, and I think DeSmith will give them good enough goaltender. One last interesting note, Casey DeSmith and Thatcher Demko have the same agent. So you've got one guy who represents those two players, and now he's got his other guy in covering for his star. I think Thatcher Demko is on any given night the best guy in the league. I just don't think he plays in front of a team that protects him ever. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, another thing I see, we got a comment here, 31 block shots from the Nashville Predators. I mean, yeah, they also do a tremendous job, and Andrew Brunette's gotten a tremendous amount of buy-in. And then, and as much as that's a cliche, whatever thing to say, when you look at the fact that on one end last night, you had the Canucks star players stumbling over their own feet, resulting in quality chances against. And on the other side, you had every Nashville Predator being willing to step into lanes. I think that also makes a massive difference, and Vancouver's got to find a way to get through that and work around it, because I mean, we can talk about Pettersson, no shots on goal in game two. He only had two in game one. JT Miller was held without a shot on goal in game one. I know he popped two or three in game two there, but still, the Canucks need their best players to start creating offensively, because you go look at the shot totals there, the ones that actually get through onto UC Saros, you're not going to win four games out of seven against UC Saros and the Nashville Predators only putting up 20 to 25 shots on net a game. You've got to find a way to work through this Nashville system a little bit better. And now it gets difficult because you've coughed up home ice. You got to go to Nashville, where, again, you talked about Tampa being a barn that's maybe a little underrated. Nashville is a barn where it feels like that crowd is right on top of you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, you certainly don't take for granted how good those fans are at the Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah. All right, let's go out to the other series. Last night, we saw the Rangers jump up 2-0, and allow me to contradict myself a little bit here. You're never in trouble till you lose on home ice, but I'm looking at a Rangers team that's up to rip. I'm looking at an Alex Ovechkin that's been awfully quiet through two games as well, and I'm sitting here going, God, last night feels like it was one where the Capitals could have won it. That's the one that maybe slipped away. And when you're as big of an underdog as they are, I don't know if you can let one of those close ones early on slip away. I think if you're going to pull off an upset, you need one early in the series. I am worried about the Capitals. Are you?
Absolutely. Because you watch the Capitals come out and throw a number of knockout punches, and they danced around the ring in the first 20 minutes of the game, and it wasn't enough because they felt like they maybe would get out of that first period ahead. They get out of that first period behind after really throwing the kitchen sink, doing what they could. It's really evident to me why GM Brian McClellan of the Washington Capitals wanted to sign Ryan Leonard out of Boston College so bad, because they just do not have the offensive firepower. They moved on from Kuznetsov. You know, Pacioretty, he plays a hard, honest game, but he's not quite himself yet. He might be himself next season, having come back from all the injuries that he has. So you just don't have enough offensively. TJ Oshie doing everything he can to start, you know, dragging his team in emotionally, playing chippy, takes the big hit from the bread man, you know, which was very controversial, obviously, yesterday, especially amongst the 100 million referees we have on social media. But I'd say Washington's going to have a hard time in this series. Maybe they get a game, but on top of it, they're not getting great goaltending. They're getting okay goaltending, but it certainly hasn't been great goaltending.
And the other thing that's killing them, Kolb, is just the fact that, again, they are not the more skilled team in this matchup. And there were 11 total power plays in that hockey game last night. And I know Washington went 2-for-5. The Rangers went 2-for-6. So you can sit there and say it's kind of a wash. But again, for a team like Washington, very hard to grab onto momentum when, what, 20 of the 60 minutes are being played on the special teams?
Yeah, that definitely does not benefit anybody really in a situation like that, because you just lose a lot of guys. It means Ovechkin's out there for 2 minute shift after 2 minute shift. You know, you lose your bottom six guys, or when it's the other way, you can't get Ovechkin on the ice because you're killing penalties and guys get out of rhythm. So it is interesting to see how many penalties are being called in the playoffs this year. It's a little bit surprising. Personally, I like when each team gets maybe 2-3 max power plays, and then they let all the other bullshit go. I think it just creates a little bit more tension in the building and tension on the ice. And I just feel like you can feel that tea kettle about to explode when you're sitting at home watching games. I think that's what makes playoff hockey so great.
All right, let's shift out to one game happening tonight. It's game 3 between the Leafs and Bruins, and the series is shifting back to the 6, Colby. And in game 2 nights ago, there was a moment tied 1-1 late in the first. David Pastrnak absolutely buries one. 8 seconds left, and you're sitting there going, God, the Leafs just played an unbelievable road period, and now they're down 2-1. And I fully expected them to crumble. I was like, we're on pace for another 4-1, 5-1 Bruins victory. The Leafs are in shambles. They didn't. They found a way to persevere, power through that. They kept the game close, and then Austin Matthews delivers the game winner. And now we're hearing there's a chance William Nylander is back in the lineup tonight, and the Leafs are back on home ice, where they were a hair better than they were on the road this year. But when you look at this Leafs team, the fact they were able to claw back and stay in that hockey game, and now that they might get some reinforcements in Nylander, have they grabbed hold of momentum in this series?
I think absolutely. And I think you touched on the big key, and the big key is Austin Matthews. What kind of player are we going to see? Is Austin Matthews going to become a playoff sensation, or is Austin Matthews going to be the guy who rips it up during the regular season and then plays good, but not great? Okay. And I got to tell you, he took that game over the other night. He was dominant, not just offensively, but he was dominant with his stick. He didn't lose battles along the wall. You could just see the extra effort and commitment. You said you think it's cliche with Andrew Brunette, you know, with the buy-in and the commitment. Tyler, you're spot on. It is not cliche. Playoffs is all about buy-in and commitment. Who's willing to do what hurts more? And to me, if the Toronto Maple Leafs can get B-plus goaltending, and they don't take dumb penalties, which they have done in this series, and they continue to sort of play with fire with that Bruin power play and David Pastrnak, is it going to wake up or not? I think, you know, Toronto Maple Leafs are in the driver's seat here going home. I really do.
Matthews coming off a 3-point performance. Again, no confirmation, but the Leafs leaving the door open for William Nylander to return.
What Nick Alberga from Leafs Morning Take tweeted right before the show?
He tweeted something.
Yeah, so he tweeted that it is believed that William Nylander is actually dealing with a head injury. And I think to me that checks out based on what Sheldon Keefe said this morning, that they need to see how he handles the extra work after practice and then see, do any symptoms come up throughout the next hour or two? And if they don't, then I think he might get cleared to play tonight. And if there is lingering, this may continue to move on. So Nick Alberga, obviously with his ear to the ground there in Toronto. And he tweeted that just before the show started.
All right. Interesting stuff there. Another thing that would help the Leafs is if Mitch Marner found a way to do quite literally anything.
Has he played in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't seen him out there. All right. Let's move along to our big segment for the day and get out to chat with Ken Wiebe in another edition of the All 32. The All 32 is fueled by Booster Juice. Download the new Booster Rewards app today to start earning berry points for delicious and nutritious smoothies, drinks, and food that will get you through the day. A pleasure to be joined, as always, by Ken Wiebe from the Winnipeg Free Press. He's also one half of Kenny and Rennie. And Ken, let's dig into that hockey game last night. The series is all evened up at one. The title of our show is Gorgiev's Big Bounce Back. Was it as simple as the Avs just getting some saves, or was there a drop-off in quality of play from the Jets in that one?
Yeah, I mean, goaltending was obviously the biggest question mark going into the game. And as Jared Bednar pointed out after the game, over 50% of his questions and the availabilities were surrounding Georgiev and his mental state or what was going to happen between the pipes. So I thought he came up with a very impressive effort. I mean, it was a wild game, guys. I mean, you saw it again. It wasn't the 7-6 special that we saw in game one, but Connor Hellebuck was so dialed in the first period, 14, 15 saves, looked very sharp, big and boring, his sort of trademark style, making tough saves look routine. But as the game wore on, it was the guy at the other end who was shining brightly. And, Hellebuck, I wouldn't say he wasn't, it wasn't his best effort for sure. I don't think, you're not pointing the finger at him, but, a couple of uncharacteristic plays. I mean, the faceoff play, I still think he was screened by Logan Stanley, but he wasn't quite set. And obviously, I mean, lots of debate in the market about Hellebuck's puck handling ability, but he's been great at it during the course of the year. He just got beat to the puck by Trennan, and that was obviously a costly goal there. But to me, Georgiev was the story, guys. I mean, most people were wondering if, Anunin would somehow come out of the bushes and have a chance to be in the game, despite the illness that he's been dealing with. Georgiev talked about, changing his routine a little bit in the morning skate, which, Colby, as you know, that seems a little bit wild to be changing your routine in game 84. But that's just an outside observer's. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, hey, it worked for him. And if he decides to change his routine, good for him. But again, like, this is a guy that's played a ton of games the last couple of years, guys. I mean, I understand the wins is a team stat, but I mean, the guy's played, north of 60 games. We talk about workhorses being kind of an anomaly these days, but he's played probably a little bit too much the last couple of years, but he found a way to give him, he just didn't give them a chance to win. He helped them win in a game where he needed to be good. Pull the goalie chance were raining down in game one, like first save of the game, Bronx cheer, full blast. I mean, good on him for embracing it, but a goalie that wasn't mentally tough or strong could have folded, guys. And then it's a 2-0 hole. And now you're not even sure who's in between the pipes for game three for Colorado. Instead, he was a stabilizing force. And once again, the Avalanche, they sort of dictated the terms. And that's got to be a concern if you're the Winnipeg Jets. Sure, you got the volume down from 46 to 32, but that's because the Avalanche sat back a bit in the third and just gave up the three shots. But that game was never really out of the Avalanche's control after the Josh Manson breakaway goal with 6.9 to go, right? Colby, I mean, if you have possession of the puck in the offensive zone with fewer than 10 seconds to go in a period, you cannot give up a goal at the other end under any circumstances. Yes, bad luck for Nikolaj Ehlers that he fell down, lost an edge, but you cannot be giving up a breakaway goal when you have possession of the puck with, under 10 seconds to go in the period. Now, I'm curious again, I'm not down at ice level. There needs to be better communication for me when a double coincidental minor is winding down. Because Ehlers falls, Morrissey has to hold the line. But to me, the offside D, and Colby, tell me if I'm wrong, offside D there has to at least maybe pull back into the neutral zone to make that a play that is not a direct pass by MacKinnon to Manson.
There was many situational failures to that. And that's something that you talk about for 82 games in the regular season is understanding the time on the clock. And I think a veteran player has to understand time and score. There are times where you live to fight another day. And you have to pick and choose those things wisely in the playoffs because the margin is just razor thin. So I'll say this. I didn't like the faceoff goal by Hellebuck, regardless of anything. I just don't think that's an acceptable goal to let in. And I know people can debate that left and right. But I look overall, and I go back to something I saw on this show, Ken, a couple of weeks ago when we had John Goyens do the coaching room segment. And he showed how well Winnipeg has defended the house, the third circle, the five-man unit, always in the frame. And you rarely saw Colorado Avalanche players in between getting into those areas. I'm watching the games over game one and game two, and I'm seeing a Jet team that wants to have a horse race with Colorado, which is a recipe for disaster. What's going on defensively with their structure that they don't look the same that they looked against the Avs all year?
Yeah, it's super interesting, Colby, and great point there. I mean, the Jets have some offensive weapons, but no, they won the Jennings because they were solid defensively and controlled home plate, and they're not doing that in this series. And it's so interesting. If I had told you guys that I thought Nathan MacKinnon was very good last night, but if I had told you that they were going to even the series, you would have thought that it was Nathan MacKinnon with a, you know, 12 to 14 shot attempt game and having the puck on his stick the whole game. Now, Cale Makar has been great in the series. And hey, Jared Bednar went to the nuclear option and put Val Nichushkin up on that line. And it was a double whammy for the Avalanche as Parise takes advantage when he's playing down in the lineup. Nichushkin comes up and really gives them a boost. And to me, if you're the Jets, sorry to change the subject, I'll get back to it in a second. Mikko Rantanen hasn't been himself in this series, which is why Nichushkin went up in the first place. But to me, the Jets are not doing a good enough job with A, puck management, and B, cleaning up the front of the net, which has been a great area of strength, as you mentioned. And they've sort of, because it got into a track meet in game one, it seems like the Jets are getting a little bit too cute in terms of the goals they are trying to deliver at the other end. But hey, a lot of their offense has come from exceptional defensive play, and that hasn't happened enough of the six periods so far, and the Jets need to get back to that. And again, I think the two-day break between games will help the Jets in that regard, whether it's in video sessions or just kind of getting back to dictating the terms of play, because to me, they haven't done enough of that in the first couple of games. Now, having said that, the Jets' top line, all kinds of question marks around whether Mark Scheifele's line with Kyle Connor and Gabriel Vilardi, you know, the history with Scheifele and Connor is that they get plenty, but they also maybe sometimes give up too much. They're winning their matchup. So right now, they're not getting it. Haven't had any offense, you know, in terms of goals generated. We understand expected goals and some of that stuff has been fine for the Monahan line. But as big a factor as the goaltending was going into the series, Sean Monahan versus, you know, Casey Mittelstadt, who had zero playoff games of experience going into game one, that matchup the Jets have not been able to take advantage of. And then you see that, you know, Ross Colton, Miles Wood, Joel Kiviranta line has been awesome for the Avalanche in this line so far. And you know, to me, if you're the Jets and you've held MacKinnon to one goal and two assists and you're just breaking even, you know, that's hard to do. The Adam Lowry line has been great against that line. But now the matchup game goes to Denver at Ball Arena. How often is Jared Bednar going to get Adam Lowry's line away from Nathan MacKinnon? And what will that mean for the high-end talent? Because we know Cale Makar has checked into the series, guys. I was in Denver, you know, for that last regular season shellacking, and Cale did not look like himself. He looked banged up, a little tentative at times. That has not been the case in the first two games. He's been an absolute force for the Avalanche. And on the flip side, in the Norris discussion, Josh Morrissey's been great for the Jets, but defensively they need to really clean things up or else this series, you know, I'm not saying it's going to get away from them, but it gets considerably more difficult if they can't dictate the terms of play.
Fascinating stuff, this series. I feel like it's just destined for seven the way these two teams are exchanging blows. Sorry, go ahead, Gold.
I'm the only one at the DFO team, Ken, that actually picked Colorado. It was me. It was seven people took Winnipeg. I took Colorado. I know I could be putting my foot in my mouth on that, but I still have a lot of faith and belief in what the Avs can do if they get B-plus level goaltending.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going six for sure and could easily go seven. And guys, I mean, despite the game, I mean, the Jets could easily be down 2-0 if they hadn't had a poor goaltending performance in game one. Now, having said that, I just thought that the biggest thing, now having been fortunate enough to cover that 2022 Western Conference final and final, this team is built on resiliency, guys. And it was, that was absolutely at the core. And Colby, I know you'd love this too. In terms of, we talk about accountability all the time. Josh Manson had a really impressive offensive game in game one, but he's in the NHL as a shutdown D-man. And he let his man go, Mark Scheifele, on the third goal. And he had a turnover on the first goal, or the other goal by Vladislav Namestnikov. He wasn't talking about generating shots in game one. He was talking about, you know, a couple costly mistakes that ended up in the back of the net. And ironically, on a game where he's focusing on defense, he's the guy who comes out of the box and gets probably his first breakaway of the year and buries it on his daughter's fourth birthday. So strange how the game works, but I thought the resiliency was such a huge factor. And I'll tell you this, Colby, I was speaking with Nathan MacKinnon in a small group after the first scrum broke up. The guy was so dialed. You knew that he was going to have a big impact on the game. The great ones just have that look in their eyes, and I thought he was great. But it's the secondary players that have really had a huge impact for both teams. And now, obviously, for the Jets, Connor Hellebuck, again, not pinning this on goaltending whatsoever. The team defense hasn't been good enough. But nobody on this panel or any panel around anywhere had Connor Hellebuck allowing 10 goals in the first two games and the series being even. So to me, Hellebuck is the Vezina winner. Clear cut, but he needs to elevate and play at an elite level. You got to be the best goalie on the ice, whether it's against Georgiev or anybody else.
Fascinating stuff. Ken, appreciate your time. You can find him on Twitter at Weebs World Read. I'm over with the Winnipeg Free Press and listen to him on the Kenny and Rennie Show. He's everywhere and he's covering the Jets Avalanche series. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day here.
Daily Faceoff inbox question, hashtag AskDFO, and it's brought to you by our friends at Douglas Mattresses, handcrafted in Canada. You can order yours today at douglas.ca/DFO. Colby, your question today as we continue our look ahead to what's coming up tonight in the NHL. Kings down 1-0, Stars down 1-0. Which team is more desperate in need of a Game 2 victory?
I think LA, because I think Dallas has the ability to come back. And I think Dallas has way more weapons offensively. They've got a better goaltender. They've got a better, deeper back end. And look, you don't want to go down 0-2, but I think it's over for the LA Kings if they go down 0-2. And with Dallas, I think they could still find their way back into the series, if even though they're going to Vegas, if they were to be down 0-2.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think I agree with that. Even though the home ice thing is flipped in the question, I just feel like LA is going to have a really hard time
winning
4 or 5 against the Oilers. Yeah. Let's move along to our daily bets. It's brought to you by Bet365, the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account today with the promo code DAILY365 to bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. First play up for me today is the 2-leg shot prop parlay. I'm back with a playoff edition of it. Pavel Zacha hit this in game one and game two. Mason Marchment hit it in game one. He's actually hit it in 6 straight games going back to the regular season. Play those two together at a nice +146. And a straight bet, Colby. I like the Edmonton Oilers to roll again. +135. Edmonton on the puck line. Rogers Place should be rocking once again in downtown Edmonton. And I just don't think the Oilers are going to let their foot off the gas. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I'd roll with you on all three of those things. I think those are good ways to take some money, especially plus money. You got to love that.
Love it. Let's wrap up the show with garbage time, Colby. And you're doing your best Stephen Ellis impression. You're going to the depths of the hockey world to find us a remarkable final score.
Well, look, it is called garbage time for a reason. And I saw this on social media yesterday. 57-0 Thailand beat Kuwait in the U18 championships, which is, you know, probably Division 4 of some level, you know, Division 5. But look, it's a reminder to people out there. They play hockey all over the world. And the other cool thing about some of these international tournaments, you see countries playing each other that don't get along, don't like each other, have differences of opinions. And I think it's always cool when sports can bring together, you know, a team from Thailand and a team from Kuwait in the Middle East. I just find that to be cool. I love to see all this international hockey. I did send this to Stephen Ellis and he had a snarky comment back to me on social media about it. So it's not every day you see the shots being 122-1 in favor of one team and 51 goals. That goaltender's save percentage most likely ruined forever.
Yeah, unfortunate on that front. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Tomorrow, we'll be right back here at noon Eastern. Enjoy the hockey tonight, and we'll chat then.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.